So tell me what it's like to be in this band and be from Texas.
We're from South Texas, so there's a lot of San Antonio, Texas. There's a lot of Mexican culture around us, and it has influenced us in our music. In San Antonio, we've got great, you know, artists, great musicians, great food. So, I mean, all of that plays into our music.
Yeah, we grew up food's a big thing. But we grew up in a household of music. It's a cultural thing to just wake up and listening to lots of Tejano and Tex-Mex music. And we use it for every occasion, whether someone's passed away, someone's born, let's have a barbecue, it's Sunday, let's listen, it's all about music. So we grew up with music around us.
Take me just before the cable television show.
Right before we did this show called Jammin',
we were like having doubts, remember? We were on the
verge of actually almost giving up, because we had been, not per se giving up, but we were just kind of like, we had a record to do. Yeah.
No, you know, we were having doubts. We were like, oh my God, like
we were going to self-release our own record. Like we were trying to find this label.
We were never going to get signed.
Right.
Oh, I thought you meant like you were just going to give up playing music.
No. I would never do that. I was just like, okay, you know, we have this album, and you know, we've had these songs for 7 years, and we just thought, instead of releasing little demos, you know, if we can't find anybody who wants to sign us and release a record, we just need to do this by ourselves. So, you know, we were kind of frustrated, and you know, then comes along these TV producers asking us, can we follow you around and kind of watch what it's like to be a struggling band, you know, coming up. We didn't know that at the end of this show, they were going to surprise us with an icon or a mentor to kind of give us advice. And that would be the end of the show. You know, we would meet this person, then it would be over, and we'd go along and still kind of figure it out. What would happen is we ended up going all the way to New York, and we had a show that night at the Knitting Factory. So we were in a rehearsal room, and they were filming that. And in walks Joan, and we were like, oh my God. We kind of all were nervous, freaked out. It was her and Kenny Laguna. They sat down and they asked us to play them, because we're close like that. They asked us to just continue playing like they weren't there. And, you know, it was kind of hard. I think Nina cussed at her, oh, all right, you know, and told her a cuss word, we'll just treat you like a roadie or whatever. And then we played our songs, and you know, she came that evening. She wanted to see us still at the Knitting Factory. And as soon as we were done, she signed us on the spot. So it was kind of a dream come true.
Then from that moment on, did you feel like a light switch just flipped? Because next thing you know, you're in real studios with real producers, having the obligation to make a real record. So were you prepared for that before that happened?
We already had a producer in mind. We worked with Gabe Gonzalez and Eric Sanger, and we recorded in Austin. Everything was all familiar territory. That's the great thing about Blackheart, is that, you know, they give you that independence. You know, okay, well, do what you want, you know, we'll support you. So everything that was happening, we were kind of like...
staying in comfort
zones. Comfort zones, exactly. So... but, you know, the next album, that was, everything was just handed to us a little, like little baby steps with everything. So nothing was quite like, oh my God. Yeah.
Nothing was freaking us out. We just kind of were bringing friends in. Okay, come in, and, you know, we're going to do this record. And you know, it's great to be on Blackheart. We just get to do what we want, sort of, still.
So you had the first album, you had the second album, and then you go, wait a minute. We have all these covers we want to do. And you don't only do it, but you make it interesting for people. You make them buy multiple singles. You do it digitally, and you don't give them a CD. So you jump right into the modern age, which is kind of cool. But then you also, in terms of the covers, you know, you do things that we know about that you might expect. And you pull a little Walking After Midnight. And then you put in Selena. And I know this is a leading question. I know you did that with purpose. Did you not?
Well, yeah, we always wanted to cover that song in particular. We always felt that it had like this punk rock vibe to it, and minus the horns. Like, you know, she sings with this growl, and, you know, we're big fans, especially coming from South Texas. So we just knew that that had to be there.
The whole point of doing the cover album was just to kind of show this is why we sound the way we do. We're kind of all over the place. We do ballads and then we do punk songs and then we do, you know, slow, like we're just everything.
Whatever we want.
I read in a much, much, much earlier interview that you said the most exciting thing that you felt about rock and roll when you really knew you had gotten somewhere is when you saw your first pair of naked boobs.
Yes. I thought, you know, wow, we opened up for Morrissey, we, you know, played the Honda Music Awards. No, I saw the first pair of boobs at a club in Dallas, and my eyes just got really bright, and I thought, wow, Nina, you are doing a great job.
The whole girl group thing, right? There's the Go-Go's, there's the Bangles, there's the Donnas. I've had them all on, interestingly enough, at various moments in time. But the whole girl group and assumption, uh-oh, they're girls, they can't really play, you know? And you were joking about the drum thing. But do you feel that the fact that you are a girl group, is it relevant in terms of girl power? Is it relevant in terms of playing? Or really, does it not really matter that people could slow up your voices and you could be guys?
It doesn't matter. Like, we don't even focus on it. We play what we want. We play how we want. We're still, I mean, we're kind of like guys, especially on the road. It's still very much like dudes on the road, but... And we stink and, you know, we just, I don't know, we don't think about that. We don't really care.
I mean, we don't come out and say, you know, 2/3 of us is gay. We're all Mexicanas, you know, we're all girls. But if we inspire other people to come out there to start a band, to not just go for that promotion at their job, because they feel like if they can do that, then I can do that. So we don't say, oh, no, think of us as guys. Think of us as musicians, not as a guy. Don't even think of the guy as a guy. He's a musician, too. It doesn't matter how well you do it, as long as you have passion in it. And I feel like we have enough passion just as any other musician out there.
I've invented this thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.